هيا على الفلاح.
How do you feel when you are told Allah is also known as Al-Mujib, the one who responds to your call whenever you call upon Him? Allah Al-Mujib, the one who gives you whatever is best for you whenever you ask Him. If this does not make your heart rest to a certain extent, then there might be a serious deficiency in understanding who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Brothers and sisters, all of us are poor and weak, and we tend to complain to others about our state, hoping they may fulfill our need. And if one time we record ourselves with a camera, how we complain to our brothers and sisters genuinely, we will be so amazed at how focused and sincere, and sometimes even cry when we complain to others. And there might be something, nothing wrong with it, as long as we don't cross the limits. But you know what's wrong is when we are in a state of sajda and prostration, the closest position you can ever be to Allah, as the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, when you are in front of Allah Al-Kareem, the most generous, Al-Ghani, the rich and self-sufficient, the one when he wants something to happen, he says, kun fayakun, be and it is. And in that state, we're not as focused, we're not as passionate, we're not as sincere, as if Allah is the poor and stingy and our friend is the rich and generous. We seek Allah's refuge from that understanding. Amin Rabbil Alameen. Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا قَدْرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ. Allah said, people have not appraised, have not appreciated Allah the way Allah deserves to be appreciated. Then Allah says, وَالْأَرْضُ جَمِيعًا قَبْضَتُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَالسَّمَاوَاتُ مَطْوِيَّاتٌ بِيَمِينِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. Since you don't appreciate Allah, then Allah tells you how strong He is. He says, Allah folds the heaven and folds the earth. Then Allah says, I'm free from all those who associate with me. La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. Our hopes is to be like Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. He understood what does it mean that Allah is also known as Al-Mujib. You know what he said? He said, I'm not worried whether Allah will respond to my dua or not. I'm not worried because I know for a fact if I asked Allah for something, Allah will give it to me. Then what are you worried about, Ya Umar? May Allah be pleased by you. But I'm worried on my side, not his side. I'm worried whether I will make dua, whether I will put the effort, whether I will be sincere, whether I will take the action. I know for a fact, if I made dua, I was sincere and take action, Allah will definitely respond. Look at Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. He understood what does it mean that Allah is also known as Ar-Rahman. He said, when Yawm al-Qiyamah comes, and let's say Allah gives me the option for him to judge me or for my parents to judge me, I would choose Allah over my parents. And anybody here who has a child appreciates this example. With this being said, brothers and sisters, we have to understand the concept of dua, not just from the etiquettes that you should fulfill, which is wonderful. Facing the Qibla, raise your hands like this in times of desperation. Have wudu, wonderful. Begin with praising Allah. Begin with a salah and salam upon Rasulullah, wonderful. But what we need to know is, whom are you asking from? We have to put the effort, we have to educate ourselves, remind ourselves, who is it that I'm asking from? For wallahi, when you do so, everything in your life, literally speaking, will change. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in authentic hadith, Ya ibadi, if every single one of you, from the beginning of time till the end of time, all of the human beings and all of the jinn, Allahu Akbar, you're appreciating the numbers. Every single one of you raised your hands to Allah, every single one of you, at the same exact instant, and you asked Allah for something, that I'll give every single one of you what you asked for. لَمْ يَنْقُسْ دَلِكَ مِنْ مُلْكِ شَيْءٍ. My kingdom will not diminish or decrease whatsoever, except whatever is decreased from an ocean when you dip a needle into it. Allahu Akbar subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is your Lord. What's amazing is not only how Allah As-Sami' the All-Hearing was able to know who asked and who spoke. It's not just Allah Al-Alim that knows what you asked for and what's internal and what's external. How Allah Al-Basir saw the requester. But what's also amazing is how Allah Al-Mujib responded to every request. This is the one whom you worship. There's a sister whom her husband has left for some time, for some task he had to do, so she stayed over her father's place. She had a daughter, Very poor family. When she moved to that house, that daughter, the granddaughter, now she became very sick. So all what the mother can do is pray two raka'at to Allah, grab a wet towel, put it on the forehead of the girl, and make dua to Allah. That's all that means she can take. Allah's my witness that someone came and knocked on the apartment at 1 a.m. in the morning. The mother put on their hijab, and her father came, which is the grandfather of the granddaughter, said, open the door, assalamu alaikum, alaikum assalam. It was a man wearing a suit with a briefcase. He said, can I go check on your granddaughter who is sick? He said, Kia, sure, tafadda, come in. The doctor walks in, sees the granddaughter, checks on her. He said, okay, you know, her case is a little difficult, but I'll give you some medication, a prescription. Make sure you buy it as soon as possible, and inshallah, she'll be fine. The mother looks at her father, they smile, because they can't even afford the medication. But jazakallahu khairan anyways. The doctor walks, leaves the apartment, and stands right by the door. The mother says, jazakallahu khairan. The doctor is still standing. Now he's getting a little awkward. He said, where is the fee for this private visit? She said, what private fee? What visit? He said, what do you mean? You called me. I left my house, left my city to come to this poor village of yours. It was a long trip. And coming, checking on your daughter and all that work. And he's saying, what fee? What private visit? He said, doctor, wallahi, we never called you. Hinaki stingy, and you're a liar too. Doctor, I swear by the one who created me and you, I don't even have a phone in my house. He said, what is wrong with you? Isn't this the apartment of so-and-so? She said, no, it's next door right here. He came to her and he told her, wallahi, it is Allah who sent me to you. No such thing as coincidence. I'm going to come back to you. He goes to the apartment that actually called him, subhanAllah. Finished with him, came back. And he told her, what's your story? She told him the story. My husband went for a task. I made dua to Allah because my daughter was really sick. All what I can do, grab a wet towel, put it on the forehead of my daughter, hoping Allah will cure her. He told her, it was Allah who sent me to you. And I will pay for all medication. And I'll give you a monthly allowance until your husband comes back. Allahu Akbar. And then she enjoyed that ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After many months, when the husband came back, she told him the story. The husband and the wife, they went to the doctor to say, Jazakallahu khaira. And then the doctor stopped the monthly allowance. Don't ever underestimate the dua. There's a true story. I'm telling you this once again, second person, Sheikh Salah al-Maghamsi. He's speaking to one of the people who used to make Hajj since the 1970s, every single year, over 30 years of Hajj. He asked him, what's your secret that you're able to make Hajj every single year? He said, I will tell you. The first Hajj I've made in the 70s, I went to some sort of a minivan or a minibus, and then there were rows parallel to each other, but the last row was connected. There's no space where people walk through. In the last row, there was a very old lady that was squished, very tight situation position. And I looked at her and I felt bad for her. And I told a couple, a husband and wife, if the husband can go back and switch with this old lady so the old lady can relax and have more space. I told the husband this, and the husband said, I'm sorry, I will not change this my seat because myself and my wife, we came in early for a purpose to sit in this comfortable seats. So I don't want to give up my seat just like that. He said, Akhi, come, look at this old lady. Look at her. You're a healthy young man. I ask you by Allah, go back, switch the seats. Allah will reward you. The man says, I'm sorry. I came early. I want to be by my wife and so on. Then the man said, okay, I will switch. He see, as he switched, the old lady moved forward, amazed and happy. She extends her arms, extends her legs, feels so comfortable. She makes dua to the brother. She says, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow you to make Hajj every single year. 1970s, the brother swears by Allah. There were years that came. He had no intention whatsoever. And all of a sudden, the visa comes up. He swears by Allah, there were years he doesn't even afford to even go for Hajj. And someone says, Akhi, I got a free spot right here. You want to join us? Allahu Akbar. This is the barakah of the dua. Don't ever underestimate your dua. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us moved by these stories. And you have to utilize that movement in your heart. Why? Zakariya alayhi salam, a very old man, over 80 years old. We all know that most people will accuse him of being mentally ill. But it's us who need help of those who accuse him. Because this man never gave up on Allah. And one time when he walked on Maryam alayhi salam, as Allah says in Surah Ali Imran, he finds some rizq, provision that no one in the city has. That's not the season of that fruit. قَالَ يَا مَرْيَمُ أَنَّ لَكِ هَذَا مَرْيَمُ How is it possible you have this? It is Allah who gives with no accountability. When Zakariya saw the dua of the mother of Maryam taking place, when he saw the wonders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right after that, for those who know the surah, right after that, what happened? هُنَالِكَ دَعَى زَكَرِيَّ رَبَّهُ He was moved by this. And he went to Allah, made dua to Allah once again, but now with more and more sincerity and yaqeen. رَبِّ هَبْ لِي مِن لَدُنْكَ ذُرِّيَّةً طَيِّبَةً إِنَّكَ سَمِيعُ الدُّعَى Oh Allah, I beg you, Ya Allah. I beg an old man, shivering perhaps when making dua. I beg you, Ya Allah, grant me a righteous progeny. You are Sami', the all-hearing of my dua. The next ayah. فَنَادَتْهُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَهُوَ قَائِمٌ يُصَلِّ فِي الْمِحْرَابِ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُبَشِّرُكَ The angels came to Zakariya, gave him the good news, inspired him that Allah gives you the glad tidings, that Allah has blessed you with a child, and Allah named him Yahya. So don't ever underestimate your dua. Know whom you're asking from and who you put your forehead on the ground to. It is the one who is able to do everything and anything. It is Allah al-Qarib, the close and near. Allah puts, I am close to you. When Allah is close to you, it makes you comfortable when you make dua. Even if you think it's silly, when Allah is close to you, you don't have to go into much detail. Be as genuine as you can. Make dua to Allah, the one who can do anything and everything He wants. Kun fayakun. No matter what sin that you've done in your life, from zina to alcohol to drugs to this to that, wallahi, a moment of genuine regret right now. Regret and remorse. Promising Allah will never do this again. Right now, bi-idhnillah, a new white page, not just that. And Allah will substitute your sins to good deeds. What are some things that we need to do now? I'll mention a few of them. The Prophet ﷺ said, make dua to Allah and you're 100% certain Allah will accept. You cannot have 99.9999. No. You make dua, Allah accept. This is done. He will accept. And he said, don't ever make dua and say inshallah. The Prophet ﷺ says in authentic hadith, no one forces Allah to do things. May Allah grant us Jannah, inshallah. No. Oh Allah, grant us Jannah. It's done. May Allah forgive you, inshallah. No, none of that attitude. Because the Prophet wants us to have certainty. The other thing, brothers and sisters, you have to have your income, your clothing, your food from halal. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a man who'd be traveling, check mark, wonderful position to make dua. Ash'ath Aghbar in a very humble position, another check mark, wonderful stage. Raises their hands to Allah, sunnah, check mark number 3. He says, Ya Rabb, calls upon Allah, not a grave, not this, not that, wonderful, to Allah, 4 check marks. However, their clothing's from haram, whether the money that you bought the clothing with or the clothing itself. The food itself or the money you bought the food with is haram. Then the Prophet says, how does this man expect Allah to answer their dua? You know why this is wonderful? Because if this man truly trusted Allah, he would have never resorted to these avenues to make income or to buy their clothing or to have food. You have to take the means whenever you make dua to Allah. Otherwise, the ulama, they said, if you ask Allah for something and you're not taking action, that is disrespect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How would you feel when one of your family members sees you like, yeah, I'm sitting in the masjid all day long. He's like, yeah, make dua. I'm making dua for Allah to grant me a job. Work on your resume. Work on your CV. Customize it. Work. Go store to store. Knock on the doors. And stay in the masjid, but as long as you take the means. But you just sitting down, Umar al-Khattab got really angry one time, for those who know the story. He came to the masjid during duhur time, which is usually, that's when people usually work. He's like, what are you guys doing? He said, we're making dua to Allah. He got his stick. He's like, Allah doesn't make it rain gold and silver. Get up, go find a job. Go put action. And that's what we have to behave with. In conclusion, one time there was a brother who was very committed to salah. Very committed. I'm a witness to this. A blizzard, thunderstorm back in Canada. He always comes to the masjid. Wonderful brother, mashallah. I would drive sometimes, see him on the sidewalk, I go pick him up. He has no car, no bus pass, no bike, nothing. All of a sudden, the brother stopped showing up to the masjid. I go to his house, knock on the door, and he opens the door. I say, Assalamu alaikum. Then he curses. He's like, what the? He mentions, do you want? I'm really confused. very dedicated person committed to the masjid, and that's your response is wajib. Saying salam is sunnah. Responding is an obligation. Don't tell me I hate that brother, I have issues. No, no issues. Then he said, he's like, what do you want? I'm like, I came to check on you. You were absent for a week from the masjid or so. He's like, I'm healthy, I'm standing, now move on in life. I'm like, I'm not moving on until you tell me what's wrong with you. Because we're a little close, so I can have, you know, subjective. Back and forth. He's like, okay, come here. So I go to his house. What's your story? He said, you know how dedicated I am to the masjid, yes or no? I'm like, yes, I admit to that. He's like, I come to the masjid regardless of the weather. I have no bike. I walk every single time. I'm like, Allah's my witness. Yes, I do believe that. And I personally pick you up. Yes, I know. But what's the problem? Why you stopped coming to the masjid? What's wrong with your attitude? He said, I've been coming to the masjid for the past 9 months, making all kinds of different dua. All kinds of different dua. This dua. Not a single one of them was accepted. Why should I worship him? And this is a high school student. May Allah protect us from overzealousness with no knowledge. I told him, haven't you heard the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Whenever you make dua to Allah, one of three things happen. Number one, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if you ever ask Allah for something, either Allah will give you what you ask for. So your dua goes up, whatever you ask for comes down. Or number two, Allah al-Hakim, the all-wise, knows whatever you ask for is not good for you. So your dua goes up, but no blessing goes down, but your dua goes up and blocks a hardship or a calamity that was about to fall upon you. The third is that your dua goes up and stays there and then transforms into hasanat on your scale yawm al-qiyamah. The sahaba heard this win-win-win situation. They said, إِذَن نُكْثِرِ رَسُولَ then we will never stop making dua. Look how they behaved. If that's the case, they know for a fact Allah will respond, but how, I don't know. But you know Allah will respond to it. Did the Prophet say, shame on you, don't have the attitude of always making dua? No. He said, Allahu Akthar, Allah is more generous. Yes, you should have this attitude, always make dua. Now the question, which one of the three is best? The best one of the three is whatever Allah sees best for you. With this being said, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless your beautiful faces. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to honor you. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless your lives and bless your families and strengthen your ties of kinship. And يقوي صلة أرحامين أمير رب العالمين.